So if we look at, for example, some attacks that we've known about on weather, US weather satellites, now you might say, well, what does it matter terribly attacking a US weather satellite? US weather satellite system is part and parcel of the strategic system. Missile launches, aircraft, all require those satellites to be functioning as best they can. And if they're not functioning, for us to know they're not functioning. So one of the things we've identified is one of the greatest weaknesses is what we would call spoofing of data. Where, this is where you use a cyber hack to slightly offset the data so that your information is not quite what you think it is and you can't rely on it.
Which is a tremendous issue, isn't it? Kinetic have been doing some work in this, but not just that. If the nuclear weapon systems, for example, if Polaris had differing information, or say, for example, somebody had suddenly told it from one of these satellites that the level of sea level was different, then it's going to be a pretty ineffective system.
Totally. So, and then this, what that does is it undermines your own confidence in your own missile systems. Now, the aircraft industry, and particularly in the United States, the Federal Aviation Authority has been on top of this for a bit longer. So, you know, they've been looking at building in cybersecurity very early on, isolating systems as best they can, but not relying on it, and also using authentication signals so that you increase your certainty that it's an authentic signal as opposed to a spoofed signal. Jamming signals is another problem, and you know we all know about jamming using electronics, but using cyber techniques you can also jam. But the thing about jamming is it's dangerous, but at least you know you've lost the signal, at least you know it's not there. Spoofing, it seems to us, is much more insidious threat and has scope for so much mischief.
Or even doing something very similar to the Stuxnet attack, where you actually get into the satellite and play back the image it's expecting to see, and whereas in fact something else is happening.
Yeah, it's like I think one of the Ocean's 11, 12, 13 film did something like that. So yes, I mean that's not beyond the capability, it's not beyond our imagination. And I think as well, if we look at the GPS, Galileo, some of the other regional navigational systems, one of the things that people forget about is the timing data. I think we've all got in our minds about the positional navigational data, but the timing data that provides is fundamental to our financial sector. All of the timing of financial transactions are done through that. And in addition, we have the timing data for obviously other aviation, maritime, all of our sort of logistics with our train systems and right down to many of our traffic networks and so on. So if you mess around with the timing data, you could create havoc. So
You could also create, you mentioned Ocean's 11, but you could create an incredible crime. You could create a financial loss of money. A crime on the stock exchange that would allow you to mess around with the latency. So,
and who's to say that hasn't happened already? Now, having said that, you know, because there are mischief makers out there, so one of the things, this being by a non-state armed group or a non-state actor, a terrorist group, for want of a better word, who would be much harder to deal with in some respects than a state. Now, you could argue that this type of cyber attack requires perhaps the level of investment from a state, and that would probably be true from a government. But sometimes people get lucky. So, you know, the brain power and the ability to be able to do it could just work for a non-state actor. So we don't rule it out. And we need to be thinking about it. And then there are countries, of course, that consider themselves outside the international system and not bound by the rules of the international system. And we would certainly be very concerned about them. And we've seen some of that activity.
So you're talking about what, states like North Korea, for example?
That would be an obvious one to name. Yes, I think so. And, you know, that, as you know, it's been blamed for a number of attacks. Whether that's true or not, I think we have had problems with attribution there. And they're easy to mimic as well. But it's a very complicated and complex world when it comes to bringing in cybersecurity in space. But if we don't, I think we're missing one of the most essential domains. And our concern is that this hasn't had the airtime in the discussions that we've had on cybersecurity that other sectors have had?
Mainly because it seems so far-fetched, doesn't it? Because it's almost sci-fi. It's a war up there in space. It's like Star Wars. And in fact, Star Wars was the name of what Ronald Reagan's initiative, the Strategic Defense Initiative.
That's
which
right.
Presumably also, though, means that nation states have been doing a few things in terms of attacking satellites, their awareness of this.
Right. So, I mean, what we can assume, I think, is that those who have skin in the game have been at least carrying out red team, blue team type exercises, if not, you know, playing a bit of mischief around themselves. So one of the things that, you know, in our research we came across was clearly that there have been tests done on their own satellites. So say a government owns a fleet of weather satellites or global positioning satellites or whatever, they can test out their satellites themselves. So some of the attacks that might have been witnessed or reported on could be own goals, as it were. But it's clear to us that there have been so many reports of satellite hacks that it would be really unusual if there wasn't some blowback from those who've been hacked who haven't been trying to do it back to the countries they think have been trying to do it to them. And then the other question we have is, you know, what about the commercial companies? What sort of hacking have they been witnessing or not? Are they aware they should be? Have they been hacked and keeping it quiet? You know, all of those things that we saw in the banking sector earlier on, mm-hmm. has that been going on in the space sector as well? And we don't know the answers to all of those questions, but if we think about what we've learned from the financial sector, if we think about what we've learned from the logistics sector, then I think we can assume that there's more to it than we know.
And of course, it's been going on for quite a while, hasn't it? There were reports just after the turn of the century of an attack on, I think it was the Oakleaves ground station in the UK, where it was claimed that hackers had moved the communication satellite. And that was part of a military network, but it was also, and claims were made that this was an attack on an MOD system, but in fact it was a system that was shared with the MOD and other organisations, wasn't it?
Yes, and I think the ground stations are more vulnerable in some ways. It's through the ground stations, of course, that you could attack a space-based asset. But if you attack the ground stations, that could even be easier. And some of these ground stations are remote, physically remote, but also unstaffed. They can be without anybody there for quite long periods of time. They're automatic. So, you know, you wonder about what kind of things that people might be thinking about doing, what interference there might already be sitting there, and how certain are we? You know, when we hear about certain unusual events occurring in flights, in shipping and so on, one of the things that perhaps we need to think about more is, could that have been a cyber attack, and could it have come via a satellite? We are so dependent on space. And I think that's the thing when you talk about science fiction. And again, it's partly because people aren't talking about it enough, but it's not science fiction. This is real life now.
It is real life. And that's another factor too, though, isn't it? Because one of the points that you actually also make is that there is the potential for physical attack on satellites. And that has been known about for a while. Only a couple of months ago, there was a conference at the Royal United Services Institute which talked about this. It talked about some states moving their satellites next to other satellites in a way as so much as to threaten them. And there are things like grappling arms now on satellites. There are missiles that target satellites as well as this cyber attack on them.
Yes, and some of those, of course, are there. You know, they're looking at technologies that can help clean up debris. So, you know, if you look at, for example, a grappling arm, that could be to collect debris and to make sure that debris, you know, passes you by. But as you rightly say, that could also be used as a weapon. So, you know, there's a lot going on space security at the moment that has peaceful intent, but could unfortunately lead to miscalculation and misinterpretation. So countries are looking about how they might address that. So, you know, Japan is doing a huge amount of work on how to clean up debris because there's an awful lot of it up there. So that's sort of steering away a little bit from the cyber world, but certainly debris is an issue. And you can use a cyber attack to just turn off a satellite. And you can do that either using, you know, just commands, or you could command the solar panels to turn into very energetic, highly ionizing radiation from the sun for a long period of time, so they get damaged, as opposed to, you know, it's quite moderated at the moment in the way that they work. And then
so again, a similar sort of thing to the Stuxnet attack, where you're basically making a piece of equipment do what it's not meant to do and thus damage it.
Yes, using industrial control systems. So you just send control commands and get them to turn in that way. And that's called grilling or frying. So this already has a sort of a buzzword associated with it. So it's something that they're definitely concerned about.
Okay. There's another component, isn't there, which we haven't discussed, which is there is a burgeoning amateur satellite industry.
Yeah.
There are people who are actually encouraging people to go and launch their own satellites. I mean, you mentioned NGOs and the fact that they can participate. But for I think it's £30,000 or £50,000, anybody can put a satellite up.
Yes, exactly. And that's going to go down. And, you know, we want to encourage this. We don't want to discourage it. And it's a fantastic opportunity for schools, universities to learn about space, to learn about science, to monitor what's going on. It's all sorts of really interesting stuff going on out there at the moment, and it's all set to become much more democratic, if you like, much more available to people. We want that to be a safe and secure space, if you'd pardon the pun. You know, it's as much as possible to encourage people to go in to that domain. We want them to feel that when they do that, that they're not putting a whole load of their other things that are important to them at risk, or anyone else's, for that matter.
Exactly.
So one of the things is that you can hijack space-based capabilities. So you could use somebody else's small little network and go in perhaps through to other networks that way, depending on how they're connected. Because if you have some of these little nanosats and they're in a fleet formation, they often talk to a mothership. And so, you know, you could find your way through. You could use the weak link there in their cybersecurity through to something much more interesting.